Okay. This is Wednesday 2/4/26. This is How Faith Works, Part 28. This is called Hold Your Peace. busted already, man, just right out of the gate. Lord, He knows just what we need. It's Exodus chapter 14. What the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the Red Sea, over against Baal-Shephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? He made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and all his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Shephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Just think about all the miracles he did in Egypt. And they were talking like this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more at all. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Hold in Hebrew means to seize. Hold your peace. Satan is a thief, and he tries to steal your peace. The parable of the sower says Satan comes immediately once the word is sown and steals it out of the heart. He comes to steal the word. The word peace in Hebrew out of the Strong's means to engrave, to plow, to be silent, to be deaf. In other words, be deaf against the devil and his onslaught and what he has to say about things, because he has come to take your peace. Right here, this is peace. By implication, it means prosperity. To join peace, by implication, prosperity. There's a lot to be said about living in peace. You can have a lot of things, lots of money, but if you don't have peace, you stay with peace and then you stay prosperous. Paul said this about those that do not know Christ. This is Romans 3:17. And the way of peace have they not known. Remember the song, He is our peace, has broken down every wall. Let's go to a couple more. This is Romans chapter 8. Started with verse 5 there. For For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, that's where the enemy works, is on your carnal mind. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. You ought to know, we all know, fear and faith can't operate the same time. Fear and faith don't operate the same time. Neither will peace. Not with fear. Peace will work with faith, but not with fear. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read this out amplified. Philippians 4. Starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. You know what? We should not fear anything from God. He's our loving Heavenly Father. And being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true. Now, you're going to have to think on these things to maintain that peace. Whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's talking, and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. If you're troubled, you've lost your peace. All right, one more out of the Amplified. This is Colossians. Peace is the umpire and peace makes the call. This is Colossians 3:15. Is Colossians after? Yeah. Yeah. And let the peace, soul harmony, that's when your mind's at rest, you're not fretting about anything, which comes from Christ, rule. Not all the things that are plaguing you and all the things going on, but what God has said. Act as umpire continually, it says, in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. You know, if he observes the sparrow over in Matthew chapter 6, don't think for a minute his mind is not on you. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as ambassadors of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. In other words, you're to live in that peaceful state, not fretting, knowing God's taking care of it. One body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Okay, let's go over to Galatians 5. We're going to look at 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Who pulls the law out on you? That's the devil. We need to look at faith and love and overlook, and we tend to look at faith and love and overlook peace. Peace makes the call. It is absolutely the umpire of your life. But it is just as important in our walk of faith as love and faith. Peace says I'm okay and I'm on my way. When we come under attack, the enemy of our soul seeks to take our peace. Let me give you an example. What have I done wrong? Have I missed it, Lord? These are Satan's attempts to get you off track and take your peace from you, getting you to look at yourself. Well, you missed it. You did it again. You did it again. You did it again. He only has one M.O., kill, steal, and destroy. When you question yourself, then you start heading in the wrong direction. Look to your heart. That's where the peace is, and that's where the call is made. Follow the peace in your heart. A few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. John 10 talks about the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. When you start listening to that junk, who are you listening to? The thief that comes in to steal. He said, anyone coming up another way is a thief and a robber. If it's not, peace don't make the call, and it gets you out of your peace, you know who it is. It's the thief and the robber. Go read John 10. That's what it's all about. God is a God of peace. We're going to look in the epistles. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God's not schizophrenic. One day he's loving you and the next day he's a kicking you, rearing, because you missed it. No, that's the devil. The Lord don't discipline his children that way anyway. Even if they do miss it, he does not do that to them. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I suggest to you today, burn your list. Don't bring it up again, because God has already said, what's he talking about? Jesus said, I don't know. He brings it up every few days. She does, you know, she's always talking about this. That's the way God is. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Hebrews 13:20. You can sit around and sing, nobody sees the trouble I've seen, or you can get up and you can just start moving forward and say, Lord, I believe everything you said, and I'm just going to keep on going. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's got a good plan, and He's working that plan in us, and we need to cooperate with Him, not get off on whatever the devil's saying today. He's always a mouthing about something. 1 Peter 3:10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do it." When you ask the Lord about something, then leave it. Don't pick it up and carry it around and ask him again and again and again and again and again. Ask him once and then say, "Okay, thank you, Lord," and go on about your business. He doesn't forget. Okay, Satan is an outsider, and we need to treat him that way. Sometimes some people treat the devil more with reverence than they do God. They act like he's more powerful than him, but the scripture says, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." When you think it's so bad, you have to remember that. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Okay, Revelation 6. Verse 3 and 4. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." That's that enemy working out in the world all the time, trying to steal your joy and your peace. You just can't let him. You have to recognize who it is and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Jesus' first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, what did he say? "Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers. I'll read it because I just wrote down part of it. They should be called the children of God. Yeah. And he asked him, "What is thine..." Oh, wait a minute. That's not it. That's Mark for it. Sorry. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Jesus showed us how to walk on top of storms and hold our peace. That's what he did. This is on Matthew 4, it's the page back. Starting with 35 there. Well, that can't be right. It's not Matthew. Maybe it's Mark. Let me look. Okay, it's Mark 4:35. "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.' And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Jesus showed by example. Isn't it time to stop allowing Satan to steal your peace? Taking you down roads that you don't have any business going down. Painting scenarios of what if. You know, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and if the Lord sends you somewhere, then you better be expecting His business on the other end of it and get yourself off your mind. Okay.